Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Heidi Nordyke. Welcome, Heidi. It's so good to finally have you with me.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm really excited to talk with you, and I can't see you in person, but I see you on the Zoom.
It's been a while, and it's lovely to see you as well. Well, you've heard a couple of these, so you know that we start at the beginning. So where were you born and grew up?
I was born in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I lived there until I was 18 years old and went off to college.
Did your family live in town or out in the country?
We lived out in the country. So I think it was about 6 miles outside of Ann Arbor. So our address and phone number were Ann Arbor. And then it was like Northfield Township.
And did you stay in that same place all those 18 years?
We lived on the same street. So we lived on East North Territorial Road. And we moved when I was 10. We moved about a half a mile down the street and to the other side of the street.
Because?
We lived in a pretty small house. There were six of us, and it was a three-bedroom house. And my brother Mike, I think it was his senior year of high school when we moved. And so we moved to another house that had four bedrooms. So my sister and I shared a room, and then my brothers each had their own room.
And that answered the next question. How many siblings? And there were four of you.
There are four of us, yes.
And where do you fit in the family?
I am the youngest.
And is there quite an age span, or are you all fairly close?
My oldest brother, Mike, he's 7 years older than me. And then Cindy's 5.5 years older than I am. And my brother, Peter, is 2.5 years older than me. So between 1.5 and 2.5 years between all of us.
And your parents were so good that they went boy, girl, boy, girl.
They went boy, girl, boy, girl.
Did you grow up on a farm?
No, I did not grow up on a farm. So it was out in the country. There were farms next to us. I think we had about an acre and the little greenhouse where I spent my first 10 years. And that was surrounded by farmland. So we would play in the field there. And then when we moved like half a mile down the road, there ended up being like they built a golf course behind our property there. And I think that was about like 2.5 acres. But I did not grow up on a farm.
The reason that I ask that is because I know a little bit about you, and I know that growing things is your passion, at least one of them. So where and when did that passion come into your life?
That is a really good question. Yeah, growing up, my dad always had a large garden, and we would help him sometimes, like picking potatoes, picking strawberries, picking peas. But I think that was his alone time, his space in the garden. Yeah. So he might have been like, yeah, you all, thank you, but no, thank you. And when I was a freshman in college, I was at my aunt lives in Cleveland, Ohio, and we were all there for Thanksgiving. And I was in school and I was like, oh, I think I'm interested in sciences, maybe biology. I'm not sure. And that Thanksgiving, we were sleeping, my cousins and my siblings, we were all sleeping in the basement of my aunt's house. And like the Saturday morning of Thanksgiving weekend, I woke up and I thought, huh, I think I want to study horticulture. So I'm not sure where that idea came from, but that was it. I was like, oh, I get to grow things and I could grow food. And that's like good for people, get to be outside.
Maybe because Thanksgiving is all about food. I don't know. I'm just making a crazy guess.
I don't either. And I don't even know where the word horticulture came into my head.
And where were you actually going to college?
So my freshman year of college, I went to Goshen. And then I transferred to Michigan State.
Because Goshen doesn't have a lot of horticultural programs?
Goshen does not have a lot of horticulture programs. And I did not grow up Mennonite also. So yeah, there were a few factors in there, but the main one was, yeah, it did not have a horticulture program.
Again, that's a great segue because I'm assuming that church was an important part of your growing up years. Tell me about church in those early years.
Yeah, so I went to the same church, Huron Hills Baptist Church, from, yeah, when I was a baby until I left for college. And my parents moved, gosh, they were one of like the founding when the church was first forming. They were meeting in a YMCA and yeah, with a group of people. And then eventually it became Huron Hills Baptist Church and a building was built and it grew. So that was like and the church was in Ann Arbor. So I had two separate lives. I had like Whitmore Lake where my school was, and then church and some sports and the library were all in Ann Arbor. So yeah, the church, we went to church every Sunday and I was involved in the youth group and it was an important part of our lives and community.
Was there any form of transportation other than your family vehicle that would get you back and forth between those two places?
I mean, I would ride my bicycle sometimes. I don't know if I ever rode it to church, but I worked when I was in high school, I worked at a canoe livery. So renting canoes in Ann Arbor. And sometimes I would bike there. And that was, I don't know, probably like 5-6 miles.
And the people who are renting those canoes, is there water around Ann Arbor somewhere?
Yes. So there's the Huron River. And for, I don't know, people familiar with Ann Arbor, that's where the University of Michigan is. So we would get a lot of college students. And yeah, so we were at Argo Canoe Livery and people could come rent the canoes and then they go to Gallup Park, which was like the short ride. And then there were other ones where we had vans and then the trailers of canoes and we would drive them, you know, like 9 miles the other way towards Dexter on the river. And my 18th birthday, I was so excited. There were three things I was going to do on my 18th birthday: register to vote, get my commercial driver's license, and buy a lottery ticket. I did two of those. I registered to vote and I had my commercial driver's license. So then I could like drive people in the van at the canoe place. I didn't often drive the trailer and the van. Sometimes I did.
What happened with the lottery ticket?
I just thought, oh, I don't want to buy that. Yeah. So I've never bought a lottery ticket.
So somehow you learned about Goshen College, which we know is a Mennonite college in Indiana, my alma mater, I might add. Tell me that story.
So the church that I went to here on Hills, there was a family that moved there and started attending the church when I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, and it was the Kanagi family. So my friend Matt was in my grade and his sister Renee was a year ahead of me. And we were very close. I was very close with Renee and Matt both. And Renee went to Goshen. She was a year ahead of me, as I said. And my senior year of high school, after church, I went over to the Kanagis for lunch. And Max, their dad, said, "Heidi, where are you going to go to school?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about University of Cincinnati. My brother was in law school there. Maybe Hope College, Michigan State. I'm not sure. You know, I'd like to study in sciences." And he was like, "Have you ever thought about Goshen?" I was like, "No." And he pulled out an application. And the rest is history. Well, then I went to visit for a weekend. And I just remember walking down the sidewalk and everyone was so kind. And I thought, huh, this feels very comfortable. And yeah, then I went to Goshen, straight to the Mennonites.
And what was your experience there during that year?
My first 2 weeks were very hard. So I played soccer there and we had to go a couple weeks early for training. And I was the only person living on my dorm floor. It was the RA and it was me. And this is my first time, you know, like living away from home. And I had some very close friends back in Michigan, and I was very close to my brother, Peter. And yeah, here I was. And I was like, there's nobody here on this floor. So it was not the greatest entry. I did have a few phone calls home with, yes, maybe some tears of like, I'm not sure if this is where I want to be. And they sent my brother Peter for a couple of days just to hang out for a little bit. And by the, you know, a week and a half in, I had made friends on the soccer team. And then by the time everyone else had moved into the dorm, I had friends, and it was, yes, it was a good experience.
But that first time away from home can be traumatic in any event.
Yeah. And I don't know if being the youngest had anything to do with it, but I think just being in that new space and place and like, oh, huh, there's nobody here. And there wasn't, we had practiced like two or three times a day, so that was fun. But yeah, just not being on the same floor with other people and having that experience when you first go to college was a little hard. Not a little hard, it was hard.
So tell me about horticulture.
Horticulture. So when I went to Michigan State, I was, yes, let me go back. So, you know, I told my parents, I was like, oh, I'm interested in studying horticulture. And so my mom said, well, let's go to the library at the community college and look to see what can you do with a career in horticulture. So we went and looked that up. And then my parents also said, why don't you go to New York? So this might also be a reason why I went into horticulture. So I have a cousin who has an orchard in the Hudson Valley, so about an hour and a half north of New York City. And she grew up, her dad is from the Netherlands. My father's also from the Netherlands. And he grew up on a family farm there, and they had an orchard. And then he moved to Canada and then to the US. And so my cousin Halea had grown up working on orchards and farm stands, and she studied horticulture. And then she and her husband had an orchard in the Hudson Valley. And so between my freshman year and sophomore years of college, I went to the farm in New York and I worked on the farm, and I loved it. And I thought, oh, like, cause during peach, they had a lot of peaches, and during peach season at the farm, they had a farm stand, and just like cutting slices for people, and they would taste and say, oh, this is the best peach I've ever had in my life. And that just brought me so much joy. And I thought, oh, I like, yeah, to be able to grow fruit or teach people how to grow fruit. But I think what I really like is giving people food and having them try things. As I say, one of my goals in life is to be an apple matchmaker. So matching people with a new variety of apple, or an apple that they find. Like I'll say, oh, what kind of apples do you like? And they'll name a variety. And I say, oh, well, I think you might like this one here too. So that I spent the summer working on the orchard there. And then I started at Michigan State, and I really enjoyed my classes, just learning about like plants and plant physiology and growing things. And I was able to work after my first semester. Then I worked for one of the professors that was a tree fruit specialist. And so that was a lot of fun. So my, like for 2.5 years when I was in school, I was working for this professor doing pruning and training and entering a lot of data and making posters. So that was fun. And we had there was a horticulture club in undergrad. So a lot of the undergrad students in horticulture were in the horticulture club. There were others too. So there's landscape horticulture, people that were working on fruits, on vegetables, and then flowers, floriculture. And so we all would get together, and every spring we had a spring show. And there's a big conservatory, and we would transform that. So there would be a theme. One year it was the world in your backyard. And so we have different committees of how are we going to design this? And luckily there were like landscape designers there that could put that together. And then we had access to all of this greenhouse space and would call, you know, companies, and they would donate plant materials and pots because they're supporting the horticulture students. And so we would transform the conservatory into this whole new space. And then we would have a big sale. So we would sell all of the material that was in the conservatory, and then also would grow extra things. So we would raise money for scholarships and other things there too. And one year, I think it was my junior year, my dad loved to grow plants. Like, he just loved putting things in the ground, and he had a green thumb. Like, he could just stick anything in the ground and it would grow. And so he loved going to the spring shows. And then there would be sometimes plants didn't sell and there were extra. So we were able to bring them home. And one year we had a cherry tomato plant that we had been growing in the greenhouse with the horticulture club. And it was probably like 5 feet tall during the spring show. And so my dad had that in the garage. And when it was warm enough in Michigan, he planted it outside. And that summer I was doing an internship in Wapato, Washington, near Yakima, on a large orchard. And when I came back home, the tomato plant was so big. It was humongous. And my brother Peter and I, we got the tent stakes from like our big family tent to stake it up. It was probably like, I want to say 12 feet. Yeah, it was crazy. But there were so many cherry tomatoes on there. And then my dad also had these huge sunflowers. So it brought me joy to be able to bring my dad plants.
So I'm guessing that you ended up with some kind of a degree in horticulture. What was it exactly?
It was a BS in horticulture, yes.
And you'd had lots of experience. You'd been an intern. You'd done all kinds of things. What did you think you were going to do next?
That is a really good question. So I wanted to travel a little bit. And at some point I thought, oh yeah, I think I'd like to work at a university. Maybe I don't know if I've ever thought I want to have my own business, because owning a farm, it's also a business. And I really just want to grow food and give it to people. So between undergrad, I came out. So I did my internship at the orchard in Wapato, Washington. And my sister Cindy had moved out to Oregon. She and her husband moved to Oregon. So I came and visited them that summer when I was in Washington. And then the next year, my brother Peter moved there. So after I graduated from college, the day of graduation, two of my friends, Thomas, Jim, and I, we had a red-eye flight from Detroit Metro Airport to PDX. We arrived at, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning. My brother picked us up and we just all crashed on his floor. He was living in an apartment with like three other people, and the three of us just crashed on his floor. And then my sister came at like 8 o'clock in the morning, was like, okay, we're going to Mount Hood, we're going skiing. So that was my first downhill skiing experience after like just graduating from college, having no sleep, and like, okay, here we go on the mountain. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. Peter is a very good teacher and instructor. He has some experience in outdoor education. So I was like, okay, I'm going to hang out with Peter and just, you know, get comfortable with this. And my friend Thomas was a snowboarder, so he went and did his own thing. And our friend Jim, it was his first experience, and he was so tired, and he was with my brother-in-law Bill. But Jim just went straight down the hill once, and then he went to the car and slept the rest of the day. So you asked, I don't know if you asked what I did after college, but I came out to Oregon. They stayed for 2 weeks. I stayed for 2 months. And then I went to Cincinnati because my brother Mike and sister-in-law Dawn were there, and they just had a son, Timothy. And I was Timothy's nanny for a couple of months. And then I went back to my cousin's orchard. So there's like throughout, there was about 3 years or so where I would like be in Oregon for a little bit, and then I would go back to the orchard. And then I would be in Oregon for a little bit, and then go back to the orchard. So I lived in Portland for almost a year in 1999.
And your brother and sister were both here in Portland?
Yes. And that was really, that was how why I would come out here. And they had a group of friends. And when I landed here, I had this community already, and we would play Ultimate Frisbee a couple times a week, go for hikes. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And then when I came back in 2008, all of those friends, some had moved, a lot of people were married, had kids. And yeah, it was a different time.
So when you came back in 2008, you sort of made the decision this was where you were going to be for a while?
Oh, I didn't know. I still don't know if that's true. Although I have been here, what is that? Yeah, a little over 12 years now. When I came out here, I had been working at Michigan State for 3 years in an entomology lab. So I really like insects too. Like if you want to talk about bees anytime, let me know. Green-faced bee, my favorite bee. So I had been working at Michigan State in a tree fruit entomology lab. So looking at apples and insects, and the codling moth, like in your apple, that's the worm. Usually like the worm in your apple is the codling moth. And there was a project to do mating disruption for the codling moth. So there's a pheromone that the codling moth, the female codling moths put out, and the males are very attracted to it. And they've been able to take that scent, that pheromone, and put it into these like little twist ties and other things. So what farmers do is that they put it is a twist tie. You put a twist tie on all of these trees, and then the orchard is flooded with the pheromone. And so you have, it's called area-wide mating disruption. So all these neighboring orchards, I think we had 2,000 acres of orchards we were monitoring. And so all the farmers have the pheromones in there, and it just floods it. So the males come out first, like at dusk, and then the orchards are flooded with that pheromone, and they get very excited because they're like, oh, there's females around. But then the females come out a little later, and the males can't find the females at that point. So they've like, the males got really excited, and then they calm down a little bit, and they can't find the females. So therefore, you're not getting the mating, the females aren't laying eggs, the farmers don't have to spray pesticides for that. So for 3 years, I was working on a project, like checking traps of these insects and collecting data, sending out to the farmers. And then I thought like, okay, that was a 3-year project that ended. Some good friends of mine, Jill and Dan Koop-Lichty, who I met at Michigan State when I was an undergrad, they helped me stay in like Mennonite world. They had gone to India at Woodstock School. And Jill kept sending me emails, and she said, Heidi, you need to come out here and be a volunteer. Because I lived in Ithaca, New York for a while, and did like I was a master composter. So I really like to compost also. And she's like, they just started a community compost program, and you can help classes. So that 3-year project was wrapping up at Michigan State. And I thought, well, let me go to India. So I volunteered at Woodstock School for 6 months in India. And then spent a month in Europe visiting my relatives in the Netherlands. Came back, worked on the orchard in New York, and then went back to my parents' house in Michigan of like, okay, what's next? And I thought, you know, I really want to just get some experience growing things and helping to teach people how to grow food. And I thought, well, you should probably have some experience in vegetable production. So I was reading a book by Bill McKibben, and it mentioned this farm on Sauvie Island, and something in my head, I was like, that's near Portland. I think I picked strawberries there with my sister. And they had this apprenticeship program. And I thought, well, let me just apply for that. And I took the train. So I love taking the train. So I took the train out, had the interview, took the train back to Michigan. And they said, okay, you can come. So I worked that first year for, I think, 5 or 6 months on, it was called Sauvie Island Organics out on Sauvie Island. And I was living at my brother's house in North Portland, and I didn't have a car because that was one of my goals in life. I was like, oh, I don't really want to have a car. And if I do have a car, I just want to be able to fit like everything that I have in my life. If I can fit all of that in a car, that's enough. But I was living at my brother's house, and then I would bike to the island. It's like 11 miles each way. And we started work at, it was like, it, well, when the sun came up, so it changed when we would start working. So I was exhausted. Like, I would bike to the farm, work all day, bike back to my brother's house, take a shower. Every now and then I would play soccer. So that was my first year. And then I ended up working on the farm for 4 years. And after that, then went back. Now I work for the Extension Service. So do a little bit of production working with small farmers, and then also some variety trials and applied research.
So we're winding up here, but we have to get your connection to Portland Mennonite. Now, you've told us about your Mennonite connections, but when and how did you start attending PMC?
The first time I came to PMC, I'm sure it was like I was out here for Christmas with my siblings, and we went Christmas Eve to a service. But when I moved out here in 2008 to work on the farm, I said, Heidi, okay, it had been several years since I had lived in one place and like had a community. I was like, okay, you're living here. You need to make your own community and your own friends, and you have to put effort into that. Because when I was here last time, I just had like my brothers and my sister's friends, and okay, this is good. And my friend, Sarah Gammel, we played soccer together at Goshen, and she had been living in Washington, but then I knew moved to Portland. And we had been emailing, and I said, oh, I'm moving to Portland. And it was like, oh, great. And I thought, oh, I know she goes to Portland Mennonite, so I'll go to Portland Mennonite. And I went there, and Sarah wasn't there. And actually, when I first moved here, I was going to go to Portland Mennonite, but there was a message on the website that, oh, we're at the coast, we have our retreat. And I thought, oh, huh. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go to church, but there is not a church. So that was my first thing. But then I came and Sarah wasn't there. And so I emailed her, and she said, oh, we moved to Vancouver, Washington. And so we were trying to figure out how we could meet up. And she was like, do you want to join my soccer team? So I joined her soccer team. So we saw each other then every Thursday, and I'm still on that soccer team. She's not there every now and then, but is on the emails. So yeah, that is my connection to Portland Mennonite, is Sarah Gammel. Well, now Gammel Matthews.
So your siblings were not attending Portland Mennonite?
No, they were not. No.
But you apparently came sometime when the church was actually open. Might just add that we're only closed that one Sunday each year for the retreat. And I think it's safe to say that you found a lot of friends there.
I did, yes. I think that first year there was a class that Joe Blowers was leading on it was on climate change or the environment. And he reached out to ask, would I like to help facilitate? And I thought, I don't know. But I said yes. I was like, Heidi, you need to get involved. And yeah, I said yes. And that was a lot of fun because we did tours. We did a little tour at the farm on Sauvie Island. And then we went and visited Joe and LaVon's community garden when they were living in Beaverton. And yeah, just sharing that food. And then there was a group of us that I think Jonathan Nussbaum, Danny and Allison Warren and Lori Nussbaum, Kyle and Linnea, the Krugers. So Sam was born at that time, Bree and Paul and Matthew Goslin. We had a group, and Katrina Miller, called Fork and Friends. So we would get together at different people's houses and just, yeah, have dinner like once a month or something. And that was before Elise was born and Annika. Yeah, before a lot of them had kids. So that was like a close group that I had early on.
Well, time is up, and we've just barely, as always, touched the tip of the iceberg. But thank you so much for sharing these amazing stories with us and for spending this time.
Thank you, Gloria. And I talked a lot. But yes, this has been fun. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, like maybe bees, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.